Ladies and gentlemen, I have got to say, I am with a legend, a man who changed every one of our lives out there. Every single person listening that's listened to City, this is the man that created this radio station. He was an amazing man before as a journalist. He had Mercury Press. He then got rid of that and had this incredible radio station, which is now part of our lives. He's made stars. He's created unbelievable stories. He is a great talent. He sadly sold out. And now we're a major company, Terry Smith. Now, there's a nice introduction.
You needn't be quite so modest, but how can I help you?
Right. I've always wanted to talk to you about the trust at the Empire, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know about it.
I think that's probably right. The trust was created in the early 70s by Merseyside County Council, when they were being abolished, to rather halt the plans at the time, which incredibly were to knock the theatre down and turn it into a multi-storey car park. So the County Council, with their leader, Ray O'Brien, who's dead now, unfortunately, they put a scheme together where they created a trust. And I was one of five original members in the 70s, and the trust was handed the ownership of the theatre. So we still own it, on behalf, not privately, but on behalf of the people of Merseyside. And that stopped the theatre being closed, and the trust has been working with various managers, now ambassadors, who are the best in the business, to keep the theatre going and make sure it's a great success.
You shocked me. I had no idea they were going to pull it down.
Well, it was one of those silly schemes that all kinds of silly things were going on in Liverpool at that time, politically. And it was quite a difficult time. They really did a fabulous job. Very, very quickly, too, because the closure of the County Council came quite quickly. They did a very good job of getting the money together and getting ownership of the theatre. Yeah. And that's the reason it's there today.
I tell you what, Terry, I couldn't imagine the landscape without the Empire. It is part of our heritage. It's also part of our city.
I think it's a great part of our city. And, of course, it's had its troubled times. It was losing an incredible amount of money when we took it over in the 70s, probably over £500,000 a year in losses, and was probably closed for 14 or 15 weeks each year. Now it's closed for about six nights a year, if we're lucky or unlucky. And, of course, we get all the top shows. It's also very profitable.
The other thing that was wonderful, too, you got that huge grant which made the stage area and altered the theatre, and it's given us one of the biggest stages in Europe.
Yes, it has. That was the problem. The stage was too small for the really big shows, so we didn't get them. Now we get all of them, whether it's Cats or Phantom of the Opera, whatever it is. If it's on tour, you can be pretty sure it comes to the Empire. But, of course, it was an interesting time taking the thing over, because I'll never forget, one of the things we had to do was to take over the legs of Man Pub. Well, of course, being Liverpool, straight away there was protests and complaints and all the rest of it. But they created a T-shirt which became a worldwide classic. And all it said, remember this is the Legs of Man Pub support group, all it said on the T-shirt was, "Keep our legs open." And, of course, it sold around the world. A typically Liverpool story, I'm afraid.
And, of course, the other thing was, if you weren't aware of it, somebody else who had a campaign going was Lily Savage, Paul O'Grady, because, of course, he was conceived in the doorway of the Legs of Man, according to him. So,
yeah, I don't know how he was there to know that, but it's a good story and it improves with the telling.
Tell me, what is the job of the Trust? Because it's important, isn't it?
Yes, it's to ensure that the theatre operates efficiently and, of course, is maintained and kept. It is a listed building. It's a very expensive building to maintain because of its size and age. That has to be looked after. We have to make sure the money's available for that. And the job really is to make sure that it's a major attraction for the benefit of Liverpool people and, of course, stays open. And to do that, I mean, one of the things that we do with the managers is make sure that there's a very wide selection of productions there. Everything from big musicals to smaller scale plays, entertainments of all kinds, really, from solos to rock bands. and to make sure that it doesn't all become one way, like bingo every night or striptease club or something like that, to make sure that we have a really wide range of programmes that appeal to every section of the community.
So has the Trust got a lot of power?
It has, but it doesn't exercise them. We own the theatre, and the Ambassador Group, which is the biggest theatre group in the world, manage it. And they take over everything from repairs to making sure that we get the kind of acts that we want and run it efficiently. They also have a huge education department, which runs all kinds of courses to introduce young people to the theatre and to arts generally. And we support that financially. We were also responsible, as a trust, a few months ago, for the big celebration to mark the theatre's 150th birthday. We did a gala performance, as you well know, of Blood Brothers with royal patronage. So it was a royal variety show, and it was really a great night. And, of course, that was the thing that led us on to the new campaign that we're running at the moment.
We'll talk about that in a second. There was also, there's been some wonderful events there. We had the Royal Command. That was a great thing, wasn't it, the Royal Command performance?
It was indeed. It was, I suppose, my lasting memory of it, the big one, was when we reopened and we had Phantom of the Opera. And again, we had the Queen there. We've been really very lucky on royal visits. But that was quite amusing because I'll never forget, just before the Phantom opened, a couple of gentlemen from the City Council Surveyors Department came around to have a look. And they seemed to be quite interested in the chandelier scene, which, as you know, is very spectacular, where the chandelier crashes onto the stage. And they were a bit anxious about that. And we pointed out that the show had been everywhere in the world without mishap, but they really wanted details. I remember the manager, Charlie O'Neill, saying to them at the time, "We're not going to kill the Queen, you know." And their faces went white. And they said, "What's the Queen got to do with it?" And we said, "Well, she's the guest of honour. She'll be in the audience." At which point they left and we never heard from them again. But I think it shook them quite a bit. But it all ended happening. It was a great night.
You just hit me with a great name. What a great manager Charlie O'Neill was.
Yes, he was. He was an incredibly optimistic man. I mean, you'd go into the theatre in the early days and sometimes we'd have a poor show and there'd be perhaps 200 people in a theatre that holds more than 2,200 people. And we'd ask Charlie what was going on. He said, "Fantastic, we're doing incredible business." And looking round at an empty theatre, we wondered quite how he could justify that particular complaint. But he did. Great guy.
One of my greatest memories for me was I saw my first ever panto when I was a little boy. I saw Dickie Valentine there, and that gave me, that hooked me into theatre. Because what a lot of people don't understand is that panto throughout every theatre is so important because it attracts young people who are our next audiences.
I think that's right, and you should know because you've been in most of them since then. But it is a great night. I mean, we all go. It's quite difficult for adults without children to enjoy the show as much as the ones with children, because the kids are part of the show, as you know. But it works quite well, and it's a real tradition at the Empire. We went 1 year without it. That was a mistake. It won't happen again.
Yeah. Here's the hardest question in the world to ask somebody like you. You've been involved with this so long. Is there one night only, that you will never, ever, ever forget?
Well, I think it has to be the last one, the Royal Gala Show with Blood Brothers, because we got into that quite late. We had about 3 months to put it together, which included getting a royal prince there, Prince Edward. And that was quite difficult because although he wanted to do it, he was in the middle of 2 days working functions in South Wales. But nevertheless, he said he wanted to do it and eventually did do it. It was fantastic. He met well over 150 people personally and, you know, really put himself out. But what people didn't know was that that morning, that very same morning, he'd been chairing a breakfast conference in Cardiff and then moved on to Swansea, did something else, and finally rushed off to the airport, got in a helicopter, came up to Lord Derby's estate got his DJ on and came to the theatre and gave everybody a great night.
Wow.
So it was incredibly impressive on his part to do that for Liverpool.
And he was charming. He spent so much time with so many people, didn't he?
It was incredible. I mean, he had a reputation for it. When he accepted, we were told a little more about him than we knew. And we were told that we would drop lucky because of all the members of the royal family. He would want to meet a lot of people, not just a few chosen ones. And we had a lot of those around. But he met personally and spoke to well over 100 people that night at different parts before the show, in the interval and after the show. And then, of course, he went on stage with the full cast. So everybody in the audience could see him and they gave him a fantastic welcome. In fact, he said to me before he left, he said that could only happen in Liverpool. And he's right, it could.
Yeah. So what are you up to with the Echo? Tell us all about this amazing adventure that's going to
happen. Well, this really follows on from the Royal Variety Show. I mean, the Liverpool Empire is very big business. It turns over a lot of money and takes a lot of managing. It is a really one of the biggest businesses in the city centre, with nearly 1 million people going through the doors every year. So what happened there? We decided that the proceeds of the Royal Gala should be something a bit different rather than just the norm, if you like, where obviously the Trust raises substantial sums of money to support the theatre's outreach and education programmes. But what we thought we would do was try to find a way of supporting smaller groups, dramatic societies, small orchestras, choirs, dance schools, that kind of thing. We're all full of ideas but don't have a lot of money, and most of the ideas just don't come off. So we came up with this scheme where we put a sum of money together, which is £20,000, and we said we would create 10 prizes of £2,000 each, and small art groups of all kinds could apply for £2,000 grants, and we would provide the money. But to get the money, they had to come up with a new project, one which they wouldn't have done if someone hadn't given them the money to do it with. And that's what we launched. And, of course, that's the one that's now underway. The Echo joined in with us very enthusiastically. They're helping to promote it. And it's been an incredible response. We sent out just over 60,000 emails to mailing lists that we borrowed from everywhere. And we're going to get an awful lot of entries. But it'll be judged really on the best ideas. So it doesn't matter how carefully they are presented or how big or small the organisation is. The best ideas will win it. And there's 10 of them. We'll get £2,000 each.
Can people still enter or is it too late now?
No, it is still entry form. It's all done on the website because we're manned by volunteers. And it all has to be done online. It does have a website, which, if I might mention it, is www.liverpoolempiretheatretrust.co.uk. And perhaps I could repeat that later, or you could. But the entry forms and all the particulars are there online for anybody that wants to see them. It's been a heavily used site. We're very pleased with that at the moment.
So people listening right now, because late night radio attracts a different type of audience, is it choirs? Is it? Tell us some of the categories.
Well, nothing is excluded. It's groups that fit generally into what you might call arts groups. And we can only give examples. It could be dance schools that are looking for a new outfit. It could be a small theatre, a venue, Gladstone Hall or somewhere like that, that needs new stage curtains. It could be a group that are constantly struggling to get members. And if they had their own software programme, it would make a whole difference. So we could pay for that. One idea that we know about, and I won't name them, but is a ladies' choir. Who have told us that they need cushions because the chairs are too hard for their ladies' bums. And it's just one of the things. We're getting entries now, and the ingenuity that people are applying is just incredible. Typical Liverpool.
That's fab. So everything's directed to this website, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Everything. It's the only way that people can enter. And it's very simple. They have a 100 words limit to describe what it is they want to do. and then we've got a couple of months to decide where the money goes. The address is www.liverpoolempiretrust.co.uk. Great. That gets everything that people need.
Now, tell me, is there an end product? Is there going to be a night where you present them?
We haven't quite decided that yet. It all depends on the entries. You see, we don't really know what we're going to get. We know we're going to get a lot, but we will design a function of some kind. But we can't really do that until we know the numbers involved. But the probability is that we'll have some function at the Liverpool Empire and hand the money over in that way.
Does that sound rather excited to see the winners? I mean, for instance, if there was four of them with choirs, it would be great to hear the choirs sing. And
we might do that. It all depends. I mean, yeah. It would be difficult. Choirs, yes, because choirs could do a performance. But if it's a book club, no. But if it's a book club or something like that, which it might well be, they'd be a bit left out of it. We wouldn't want them just standing there reading something out of a book.
It's an exciting idea, isn't it? Because it's great to give something back. Because you do a lot of educational stuff with the trust, don't you?
The trust itself. We've got a staff of three, and Natalie, who runs it, is just incredible. The number of youngsters that go through courses and rehearsals and shows like the recent Fame show is quite incredible. It runs into several hundred. They also go out to schools doing arts weeks, introducing the theatre. And when we get a big show or a ballet or something like that, frequently the professionals from the show will do sessions with the kids again to get them interested in the theatre. And these are people who are genuinely interested in theatre careers. And an awful lot of them have done just that already, who started at the Empire and have now moved on to full-time employment.
Going back to the money that you're giving away, how much longer have they got before the entries are closed?
It's the last day of November is the closing date for the competition.
So they've got plenty of time, which is great.
Yes, they have, but of course people need to work up their ideas. And what I imagine will happen is that two or three people from an organisation will get together to produce the application.
I think it's a cracking idea. I've got to ask you while you're here, Terry, did you ever have any idea when you created Radio City, you were a very powerful journalist, did you ever have any idea it would finish up commercial radio the way it is now?
Well, it's certainly different now. And it is a difference. When we started Radio City, it was a group of local people who owned it, operated it, and mostly worked at it. It was an interesting time because we didn't want to just have a radio station. We wanted something good and great and all the rest of it. We already had local competition, which was very successful. So that was the starting point. But I think we largely achieved it. We won, as you know, probably a couple of hundred awards, including two as the best radio station in the world at the New York Festival, which was an amazing day. And, of course, dozens and dozens and dozens of people who started their careers here in Liverpool at City now have very big jobs in national broadcasting, radio, television, dozens and dozens and dozens of them, BBC, ITV, Sky, everywhere. So that's the way it was, and that's the way we built it. It's a bit different now because most of the radio stations are owned by larger groups. That's fine. They're more profitable. None of them are going broke. People have got career opportunities they didn't have with single stations. Commercial radio now has more listeners than all the BBC stations put together. So whichever way you look at it, it's been a tremendous success.
Going back even further as a journalist, when you had Mercury Press, you've seen a huge change in journalism. Huge. Do you think it's gone worse? Do you think papers will survive?
I think papers are struggling. Any form of print media is struggling. And online broadcast media, that kind of thing, is really making life very hard for them. And lots of newspapers have closed down. I think there will always be newspapers, particularly local ones like the Liverpool Echo, for example, because it's part of the life of Liverpool. And it may not sell as many as it used to, but it's still an important part of everybody's lives. I think that will continue. It has made all the papers more choosy about their market share. You get the real extreme. Still a huge range, much bigger than anywhere else in the world. but all struggling a bit and all having to manage with smaller circulations.
And before you go, I've got to talk about your other passion, Liverpool Football Club. Are you thrilled with the stadium?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I took over, and I always... Be very careful what I say. People say that I replaced Buck Paisley on the Liverpool board. Well, the reality is that nobody will ever replace Buck Paisley. All I can say is I occupy the same chair that he used to sit in. But it was a great time. It's had its ups and downs, like everyone else. But certainly in the 15 years I was there, it was just a wonderful, wonderful period. I'm still very, very proud of the association with Liverpool. And the progress they've made with the new stadium, with everything else, and the way they run the business reflects great, great credit on the people who now operate in it.
I'll finish as I started, because you are a modest man, and I really don't think you realise how important City was in growing up. Many, many millions of people still listening now, their children listening now. It's been a part of life. You, the Empire, Liverpool, Everton, it's all part of the structure. I couldn't imagine life without Radio City, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, I don't think there'll ever be a Liverpool without Radio City, that's for sure. The station is hugely successful. It's a caring station. In my view, it is, and of course, I expect to be a bit jaundiced, but it's very easy to criticise things after you've left and say, well, it's not as good as it was in my day. It is as good as it was in my day. It's just different. But it's still probably far and away, and by a distance, the best commercial radio station in the UK. And the awards list alone proves that.
Terry Smith, thank you for talking to me.